Yeah, Mishnayis Baba Kama, we're up to Perek Chi, the ninth Perek. Mishnalef, Hagoizel Eitzim, if somebody steals Eitzim wood, the Asorin Kalim, and the Gazla now makes it into a Kli, makes it into a pot, a cup. Semer, somebody steals wool, the Asol Begodim, and from this wool you make it into clothing. So Lochur is Mishalan Kishasek Zela. You have to pay how much the wood or how much the wool was worth at the time when you stole it. In other words, you do not have to return now the kli or the begodim, because it's called a shinui, a gazlin is kono b'shinui, and therefore you only have to pay the value how much it was worth at the time when you stole it. Gozal pora muberes v'yoda. Let's say you steal a pregnant pora, and then she gives birth by the gazlin, or else rochel tuna gzoza, you steal a sheep that's full of wool, and then you shear off the wool. So lochur is mishalem de meipora hoimedes leilit. That first of all, you still have to return the pora that you stole. You still have to return the rocho that you stole. It's still called kain shegozel. This is not called the shinui. Just the fact that it gave birth, and therefore you still have to return it. But the question is though, when you return it, though, it's not worth as much as it was when you made the geneva. So therefore, you have to pay how much money the pora was worth then when it was pregnant, or how much the rocha was worth then at the time when it was loaded with wool. In other words, the actual vlad and the actual wool that you shed off, that the gazlan has a right to keep. That's like a kinyan shinui. Just the actual animal he has to return, and he also has to pay how much was worth more then than it is worth now. Gozal poro v'nisabra etzloi v'yoldo. Let's say Reuven stole somebody's cow, and by the gazlin, by Reuven, it became pregnant, and it gave birth by the gazlin. Or else Rochel, somebody stole a sheep, v'nitano etzloi, and it grew wool when it was by him, or gzoza, and then you sheared off, you cut off the wool. So lochur is mishalem k'shasek zela. You have to pay how much the cow or how much the rocha was worth at the time when you made the gzela. And the mirror explains that here the gazlan could keep the paro. He can keep the rocha. This is called a shinu. This is called something different happened to it after the gzela. The fact it became pregnant by you, that's called a shinu. And the fact that it was nitano, now that it grew on wool, that's called a shinu. Therefore, you only have to pay how much it was worth b'shas tegzela. And ze'aklal, this is the general rule, that kol ha'gazlonim mishalim k'shas tegzela. Anytime you make a gzela, you have to pay back how much it was worth b'shas at the time of the gzela. Mishneh Beis. Gozal behema v'hiskina. If somebody stole an animal, and by the gazlan it became old, the animal became old. Avodim viskinu, somebody stole somebody's evet, an evet kinani, and by the gazan it became old. Salochur is mishalom kashasek zela. But you have to pay how much it was worth at the time when you stole it. In other words, the tanakam old, this is called the shinui, it's called the animal or the evet changed, and therefore the gazan is supposed to keep it, and he has to pay back to the owner how much it was worth when it was young. Rabbi Meir says, if you stole somebody's evid, he holds an evid, is hukish lekakois, and therefore it's really it's ainun exelis. The gazlan does not have a real kinyan in the evid, and therefore it's always considered still in the reshus of the original owner, and therefore it's called it became older in his reshus. Therefore, the gazlan has a right to return the evid and say, here it is, this is your evid, it's not mine. What's going to be Gozal Matabeya v'Nistak? Reuven stole somebody's coin, and by the Gazlan Nistak it cracked, so it can't be used now. Or else Perus, you stole fruits, v'Kirvu, and it rotted by the Gazlan. Yain, you stole wine, v'Hechmetz became sour by the Gazlan. So this is called a Shinui. The Gazlan's supposed to keep it, and Mishalim Kishasek Zeil, you have to pay back to the Nigzal, to the one he stole from, how much it was worth at the time when he stole it. So he has to pay back the money. Matbeya v'nifsal, Let's say you stole a coin from somebody, and now the nifsal means that the government changed the coins. It doesn't, you can't use it. There's no currency with it now. Truma v'nitmas. Let's say you stole somebody's truma, and then it became tamei by the gazlin, or else chametz for the overall of a Pesach. You stole somebody's chametz before Pesach, and you did not return it after Pesach. Or else behema, you stole somebody's animal. And now the gazlan did an avera to it, either worshipped the avodah zarah with it, or else he was ravei, he lived with it. Or else something happened to it that it became possible, it can't be used for a mizbech. There is a mum, that you can't see the mum was nailed on it. Or let's say by the gazlan, the shor now killed a man. That he's supposed to, the din is, it's a shohan iska, he's supposed to stone the shore. So in all these cases, oimaloi, the gazlan has the right to say back to the nigzal, hareish lechola fonecho, here this is your shore, take it back, I don't have to pay. There's all these things that considered a hezek shena nikar. If you look at the actual object, you do not see anything wrong with it. Like a matbeya of an ifsal, the coin itself looks the same way it looked before. Even though now you can't use it, that's called a hezek shena nikar. And we hold that loy shema hezek, for gazlan at least. Therefore, since the object looks the same way when it was stolen, the gazlan has a right now to say back to the owner, here it is, keep it, and he's potter from paying him money. Yeah, Mishnah Gimel. Nosan l'umnin l'sakin. Let's say you give something to a workman to fix it. In other words, you give a kli to be fixed by the workman, and the kukulu, he ruins it for you. So locher is chayovim l'shalim. The workman has a loch like a gazlin, and he has to pay back to you the dimei ha-kli, how much the kli was worth. Nosan l'chorish, let's say you give to a carpenter a shido, that's let's say a box, a wooden box, or else teva, that's a chest, or else omigdol, a type of a closet, let's say, l'sakin, you give him these things to fix, v'kilkul, and he just ruins it. So again, chayav l'shalim, the workman has to pay you for the kli, how much it was worth at the time when you gave it to him. Now here really we paskin that umen is eino kerne shvach kli. That means let's say you gave the umen some wood to make it into a chest, and he arrayed and made it into a chest, and then he broke it. So we'll have to pay you how much the chest was worth, because when he made it, it still belongs to the owner. Now when he breaks it, he's called the gazlan now, so he has to pay how much it was worth at the time when he broke it. V'yabanoi, let's say, give something to a builder. She'kibl olav lister es akoisel, you called the builder, and you asked him to knock down this wall of yours. V'shibar es havonim, and when he's breaking down the wall, he also breaks the stones. Or else it does damage when it comes down. So chayav l'shalem, the builder has to pay, because he accepted upon himself. He accepted upon himself to watch it. He should not do any damage. What's going to be hayisoyse mitzad ze? He was knocking down the wall from one side. V'nofo mitzad achar. Then some stones fell off from the other side by mistake as an onus, and it did damage. So then potter, then he's potter, because that's called an onus. But v'imach mesamaka chayiv. If it came down because of the hit, the way he hit the wall, he should have known that the stones would fall down on the other side, and then he's chayiv. That he should have thought about, here is not called an onus. Mishnah Dalet. Ha-noisein semel atzava. Somebody gives wool to a dyer. And the dye now, like, burnt it. He put the dye in there, used to boil it up in the pot with the dye, and by mistake now he burnt it. The dyer has to pay back to the owner how much the wool was worth at the time when he took it. Let's say he dyed it, but he did a bad job, he didn't use quality dye, he made it look worse. So kor means worse. So im hashvach yoyser al yitziyah. If the value now, like still the wool is worth now more than it was worth before. So if the extra value that it's worth now is more than the yitziyah, the actual dye that the dye is spent, is nois l'yas yitziyah. All the owner has to pay back to the dyer is only the amount for the dye. In other words, the owner gains on the deal. V'yim ha'yitziya yiseir al-ashvach. Let's say the dye, he spent $2 worth of dye, and he only made the wool worth a dollar more. The shvach, it only became a dollar's worth more. So really, it's a beer deal. So in such a case, noisun le'yis ha'shvach. The owner only has to pay back to the dyer the $1 that it got worth more. In other words, the owner does not lose out, it's only the dyer that loses out. What's going to be litzboya loy odom? You gave your wool to a dyer to dye it red, litzboya shocher. And not only did he do a bad job, but he changed the color, he made it into black. Well, the opposite way, shocher, you told him to dye it black, utzvo odom, and he dyed it red. So Rabbi Meir, says, noisun loy de meitzamer. Rameyah says, kol ha-mishana, you consider the gazlin, and therefore you only have to pay back the value of the tzemer, how much it was worth when you took it. Rabbi Yudah, says, no, you're not called the gazlin here. And therefore, yad balabayas al-hol yoyna. And therefore, im ha-shvach yeser al-yitziyom, if the shvach, as you made this dye now worth, let's say, $5 more than it was worth before, and the dye you only spent $2 worth of dye, so therefore noisun le'yis yitziya, the owner only has to pay the dye the $2 he spent for the dye. V'yim ha'yitziya yiseir al ha'shvach. Let's say the yitziya is worth more than the shvach, as he spent $2 on the dye, and he only made the wool worth a dollar more. So then noisun le'yis ha'shvach. The owner only has to pay the dyer the dollar that it was made better. Mishnehei, ha-goizel es chaveroi shava pruta. Somebody steals from his friend a shava pruta, something that's worth a pruta. V'nishpaloi, and the gazlan swears to the person that he did not steal it. And then later we find out that really he did steal it. So locher is that you chayev to pay back a keren, v'chaymish, and a korban oshem. When you have to pay back the money, there's a special halacha now that yoylichenu achrov, you yourself now have to take the object, take the money, and give it back to the person that you stole from, afilu lamodai. Even if the person is far away from you, he's in modai, still you have to go and give it to him. In other words, you do not have a kaporo until you go all the way there and give it to him. And the Rambam says the reason is because since you first swore that you do not owe it to him, the owner like was miyayish, he's not going to come and ask it for from you anymore. So therefore the din is you have to go to him now and you have to make sure he receives it. Now lo yiten lo levnoi v'lo lishluchai, you're not allowed to give it to his son or to his shliach, but you have to make sure to give it to him directly. Avonoisim l'shliach bezdin, but you're allowed to give it over to a shliach, a messenger that bezdin made, that's okay. They could give it over in your name. The imeis, let's say the nigzal, the owner, dies. You did not get a chance to give it back to him yet. So then the lachar is yachsal yoshev. Then the lachar is you have to return it to the yoshim, to the people that yashin him, that inherit the father. Mishnevov, nosan loyes a keren. Let's say the gazlin returned the keren. He stole, let's say, a kli worth $10. And he paid him back $10. But he did not pay back the extra fifth. There was a case where first he swore that he did not take it, and later the gazlan admits that yes, he did steal it. So he's chayav to pay keren and an extra fifth. So let's say he did not return the fifth yet. Or else, mochel loy ala keren, let's say the owner was mochel, freed him from paying back the keren, but mochel loy ala chaymish, he did not free him, he still has to pay back the chaymish. Let's say the owner was meichel on both the keren and the chaimish. Chutz mipochus mishava pruta the keren, only less than a shava pruta of the actual keren, the capital that he still owes, that he was not meichel. So it comes out he only owes less than a shava pruta. So then the locher is ein tzarich lelechachrov. You do not have to go after the person to return him. In other words, just to return the chaimish, the fifth. Or else a part of the keren, which is less than a shava pruta, you do not have to make the chazara, you do not have to return it yourself. What's going to be the opposite way? Let's say nosan leyes a chaymish, you paid the fifth, but v'loy nosan leyes a keren, you did not pay the keren. Or else mochel el a chaymish, he was meichel the chaymish, but v'loy mochel el a keren, is not meichel the keren. or else mochol yalzev yalzev, he's mochol on both of them. Chutz mishava pruta bekeren, left over a shava pruta, you still owe a shava pruta's worth from the keren. In other words, bekitza, you still owe at least a shava pruta to him from the capital, from the actual kli that you stole, the value of that kli. Zayin alochrit sorach lelechachrov. You have a chiyav hashavon, and you have to go after him, even though it only means to return this one shava pruta. But you do not have your kaporo until you make sure all the keren is taken care of.
Mishnah Zayin. No san lo yes hakeren.
Again, the same case where somebody stole, and then he swore that he did not, and then he admitted. So he has to pay keren v'chaymish.
So let's say the gazlan paid now back the keren. And again, v'nish palei ala chaymish.
And now the question was, did he pay the extra fifth?
So the gazlan said, yes, I paid it up already. And he swore that he paid it up. And then he admitted that he did not pay the chaymish.
So lo chariz hareze mishalim chaymish al chaymish.
Now it's considered like he made a new gzela on this chaymish. So he has to pay back the chaymish, but there is the keren. And he has to pay back a fifth for this fifth.
Until it comes down that the keren is worth less than a shava pruta.
In other words, if the taina that you stole the money, how much you stole is less than a shava pruta, so that is no din gezel. You do not have to pay back a chaymish. In other words, like the last chaymish that you have to pay, if that's going to be less than a shava pruta, so when you kaifa, when you deny it, like you say you paid it up, and really you do not, and you swear false, so since you're swearing on something that's less than a shava pruta, you do not have a chiyuv to pay back the keren and the chaymish on it.
Now the Mishnah says, v'chein bipikodin. The same halach applies by pikodin.
If I give you something to watch, and later I say give it back to me, and you say I gave it to you, and you swear to it, and later we find out that no, you still have it, so again, you have to pay back a keren v'chaymish.
Shnemer Posik says, "Bepikodon oy b'seshumas yod, oy begozel, oy o shak esamisoy, oy motzo aveda v'chichesh bo, v'nishpal shoker."
In all these cases, if you swear false that you say you do not have the person's money, and really you have, whether it's a pikodon, something you're supposed to watch, or whether it's a halvo, or whether it's gezel, or what's the money you owe. In all these cases, it's hareze mishalem kerim v'chaymish v'yosham. You also have to bring a korban osham.
What's going to be heichin pikadoni?
Reuven comes to Shimon and says, listen, I gave you my pikadon, I gave you something to watch. Where is it?
Omaloi.
So the shomer answers him back and says, ovad, it was lost. And the locher is a shomer chinam. If you do not get paid, you're potter if it was lost.
So the owner says, Mashbiachani, I want you to swear, and I'll swear for you like I'll put the shvu upon you.
The Omer Omen, and the Shomer says, Omen, yes.
So it's considered like he swore now that he lost the Pikodin.
And later what happened was, V'edim midinoi soy sha'achaloi.
Edim come and tell us, we saw the way the Shomer himself used up the Pikodin.
So Mishalom Keren, in such a case, he's hazloch like a gazlin, and he has to pay back the Keren.
But he's potter from Chaymish v'yosham, since he himself did not admit.
What's going to be later, hoidem yatzmoy?
Let's say the Shomer himself comes and admits that he swore false before, and really he himself used the pikodon.
So then the loch is, Mishalom Keren v'chaymish v'yosham.
There's a loch that you have to pay back the Keren, an extra fifth, and a korban osham, because you made the shvuas shaker, you swore false.
Mishnah Ches, what's going to be heichon pikadoni?
Again, the owner comes back to the shomer chinam, and says, where's the pikadon? I gave you something to watch, the pound of apples. Where are they?
Omar loy.
So the shomer answers back and says, nignav, it was stolen from me.
And the shomer chinam is potter on nignav.
So Mashbiach Ani, the owner says, I want you to swear.
The Yomer Omen, he says, yes, he like swears.
So, and then,
V'yeidim midinoi soy sheh gonvoi,
Edim come and say that the Shomer himself is the one that stole it, he himself has it.
So locher is now Mishalom Tashlume Kefil.
That's a chiddush over here, that the Shomer has to pay back Kefil, even though he did not really make a Maisi Gneva, because it was in his Rishus anyway.
But that's a chiddush gezeras akosiv, that if a shomer wants to free himself by toyin tainas nignav, he says it was stolen from him, so that alone makes him like a ganif that he has to pay back kefil. What's going to be hoyde miyatzmoy? Let's say the shomer admits by himself that he himself swore false and really he himself has it. Sen alochri is mishalim keren, he only has to pay keren. But kefil is potter, because kefil is a kenas, and moide b'kenas is potter. But instead, mishalim keren v'chemish v'yoshem, he has to pay back a chemish and a korban oshem because of the shvua sheker, because he swore false. Mishneh tes, ha'goizel es oviv. Let's say somebody stole from his father. And v'nishpaloi, so the father comes to the son and says, I want you to swear that you did not steal. The son says he did not steal. And the son says, okay, the son swears that he did not steal from his father. V'meis, and then the father dies. The locher is hareze mishalem kerim v'chomish lebonov oiliyechov. As later the son admits that really he stole and really he swore false, so the son has a chiyuv to pay back a kerim v'chomish v'yoshem. So does he pay it to? He pays it back lebonov oiliyechov. He pays it back to the sons of his father. In other words, his real brothers. Oiliyechov versus his father's brothers. And those are the people that Yash and the father. He has to pay it back to them. V'yemeinu roitza, let's say he does not want to pay back right now, because he doesn't want to lose out his chelek in the Yerushas Aviv, because he deserves a portion in the Yerusha of his father. Oishein loy, or else let's say he does not have it in the chosm now, he doesn't have anything what to pay back with. So locher is loyva, he has a right to borrow money from other people connected to gzela. Then the Baal Chayv comes and they collect this money. So in other words, it's like this. Again, the son stole from his father and he swore false, and later he admits. So he has to pay back now the whole Keren V'Chaymish to the Yorshim of the father. Even though really he deserves to be a Chelek, he's also a Yerush, he deserves to get a portion of it. So really he should not have to pay back all the money, because he's a Yerush himself. But that's halacha, no, since he needs a kapor, he needs a forgiveness. Since he made this gzela and he swore false, so the only way he has a kapor is if he makes a maisa shava, he has to pay back the whole keren and the whole chaymish. That's the ikar adin. But let's say now we're saying, v'yemeinu roitza, that the son still feels bad. He doesn't want to lose out his chelik in the Yerusha. Like true, he has to pay back a keren v'chaymish, but he feels like he still wants to get a part of it because he's also a Yerush. Or else, in the case where he doesn't have the money, so the Rabbana made a special takona here, like this is a takona that he has a right to borrow money from somebody else. He borrows $1,000, and that $1,000 he pays up, he gives it to the other sons. Like he pays up the gzela. But then the Baal Chayv, when they come and collect, they have a right to collect like not all the money back from the gazlan, from the son that stole, but connected his portion of the Yerusha, he collects his money back from the other brothers. And this is like a takon the Chum will make all over here, that like Baharama, as if to say that this son, the gazlan, does not lose out his portion in the Yerusha. There's as much money as he would a Yashin from his father, that much money, when the Baal Chayv comes to collect, they come and collect that amount of money from the other brothers, from the Torah of the Yerusha. And like we said, this is a special takon that Chonah made, that even though we really do not have a right to collect this much money, but still we make it easy for this son that will be able to collect the money that his chelik, his Yerusha, he would not have to lose out. Mishnah Yud. If a father says to his son that koinem iyatu nene mishali, I'm making like an issa neder, you cannot have any enjoyment from what belongs to me. So the locher is imeis. Let's say the father dies, then Yerushenu, then the son yarshins his father. In other words, the neder is only calls the man the father is alive, the son cannot have enjoyment from his property. When the father dies, like it doesn't belong to him anymore, so therefore now a Yerusha takes place, the son has a right to enjoy it after the father dies. What's going to be if the father said, B'chayev of Amosai, I do not want you to have any enjoyment from my property when I'm alive, and after he dies? So then the halacha is, in Mesa, the father dies, lo yirishenu. The son, like, does not yarshin his father, because the nechosim are also b'hano, it's also for him to have enjoyment. So Mefarsh, when the Miri speaks out, that really the son yarshins it, and the din Torah is he yarshins it, just he cannot have any enjoyment from it. So therefore the halacha is, v'yachse lebon av eliochiv. He has to give the property back to his brothers. Lebonav means the father's sons. Eliochiv rest of the father's brothers. In other words, to somebody else, but not to this son. V'yimein loy. Let's say this son now does not have any money. And he has no money, so he can't just give away this Yerusha. Therefore, Leiva, one eighth is again, let him borrow money. Let this son that the father made an Issa Neder not have any enjoyment from him. Let his son now borrow some money. And therefore, Bali Chayv is Boyim v'Nefroyim. Now the Bali Chayv is, they'll come to collect their Chayv, they'll come to collect the debt that the son owes them. They'll be able to collect his debt from the Yerusha. In other words, it's not called a direct Hano from the Yisuri Hano. True, the property is also Hano to the son. But that's halacha. The Mishnah says that Amud Rano Mechaveroi Perei Eloi Chayve. If you make an Yisuri Hano, still you're allowed to pay up his Chayveis, his debts. This is called an indirect Hano. And this is Muta even by Yisuri Hano. Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hagoizeles Hager. Let's say somebody steals from a ger, and he doesn't have any yorshim, v'nishpaloi, and then he swore that he did not steal. V'meis, then the ger dies, and there's no yorshim. And this person admits now, he's moida, that he stole and swore false from the ger. So loch riz, he's mechuyiv to pay a keren v'chaymish. But usually you have to pay it back to the person you, like, swore false to. Here the person died, and there's no yorshim. So how do you have your kapara? So the Mishnah says, "Hareze mishalom keren v'chaymish lekahanim." There's a special posik that the tashlumim, the kapor is, if you give the money to the kohen that's there in that time, in the mishmar of that time. Shinemar is a posik in Bamidbar that says, "V'yemein le'ish goyel." If a person has no person to yarshin him, lo'ashiv v'ashim elov. Therefore, the person that stole and swore false has no one to return the money to. So Oshem Hamushav LaShem LaKoyin. It says that the money that you return should go to the Koyin. Melvad Ela Kippur Mashiach Chapa Boyalov. Besides the korban Oshem that you have to bring. So it says clearly that if you have no person to give the money to, you give it to the Koyin. What's going to be Hoyimale Sakese Ves Oshem? In other words, this person that stole and swore false to the Ger, and then the ger died, so the eighth of the Mishnah says is to bring the money to the kohen. So let's say this person now, this gazlan now, is about to give the money and they bring his korban to the kohen. Vomeis, and this person dies now on the way up to Yerushalayim. So lachri is hakesev yunasan lebonav. The money remains with his own children. In other words, they have no chiv to give a kapara for the father. Since the father died, therefore they have no chiv to give a kapara for the father. They can keep the money. But the Oshem, this korban Oshem that the father set aside, Yirachi Yistoiv, let it pasture in the fields until it becomes a Balmum, and then V'yimocher, you could sell it, V'yiplu Dom of the Nadova, and the money you receive you have to give back to bring a korban Nadova on the Mizbech. Now Mishnah Yud Beis, what's going to be Nosan Es HaKesef L'Yan Shei Mishmer? Like this gazlan that's told from the ger, now when he's doing tshuva, he brought the money and gave it to the Yanshe Mishmer, gave it to the kohen of that Mishmer, v'meis, and then the person died. So locher is, and the gazlan died before he brought his korban. So locher is, ein ha-yorshim yechodom lo'itzim yodim. The yorshim have no right to take away this money from the kohen. Shinemar the pasuk says, ish ha-shi'itin la-kohen lo'yiyah. That as soon as the father, the gazlan, gives it to the kohen, they deserve it, they have a right to keep it. To Yorshim, the sons cannot take it away from the kohen. What's going to be Nosan HaKesev LiYoriv V'Yorshim LiDayo? That the father, when the gazlan came to the Beis Hamikdash, he gave the money to the Mishmer of YoYoriv, and he gave the Korban Oshem to the Mishmer of YoYoriv. Now YoYoriv, that's the first Mishmer. They take care of things first, and after that Mishmer, after that week, then comes the second Mishmer of Yedayo. So it comes out, he gave the money to the first Mishmer and the korban to the second one. So halacha is Yotza, Yimekayim the mitzvah. Because that's the halacha, even if you return the money first before you brought the korban Hashem, Yotza, it's okay. What's going to be though the opposite way? Oshom liyoyorev, you gave your korban Hashem to the first Mishmer. Vekesev lidayo, and you first returned the money to the second Mishmer. So it depends. Im kayim Oshom, if the Oshom is still around, they did not bring it yet until you gave the money, then yakrivuhu b'nei yidayo. Then the second Mishmer, when they get the money, when you paid up the money, then they have a right to bring the korban Hashem. But v'yimloi, let's say the first Mishmer, Yoyoriv, they already brought this korban Hashem. So it comes out the Hashem was brought before the Gazdan returned the money. That's no good. He's not Yotza. Therefore, Yachsev Yov Yoshem Acher, he has to go and buy another, bring another korban Hashem. Why? Shehamevi Gizeloi, Ashlehevi Yashom Yotza. If you return the money first before you bring a korban Hashem, that's good, you Yotza. But the opposite way, no. Hevi Yashomai, let's say you brought your korban Hashem first. Actually, Hevi Gizeloi, before you brought the money, before you returned the money that you stole. Lo Yotzi, not Mekayim Demitzi, not Mekayim Yokapara. What's going to be Nosa Nasa Keren, Lo Nosa Nasa Chemish, Eina Chemish Makif? As long as you return the money, the keren, the capital that you stole, even though in this case where you swore false, you also have to pay a chaymish, and let's say you do not pay the chaymish yet, you only pay the keren, and you brought the korban Hashem, you're yotza. Because that's the loch, ain't ha chaymish makiv. The chiv of the chaymish to pay the extra fifth, that does not stop the kapora of the korban. You let it bring your korban, Hashem, even before you bring the you pay the chaymish. The main thing is you have to pay the keren first, and then you can bring a korban Hashem. All right, a turnover. Yeah, Perek Asiri, Mishnalef, Hagoyzel Umaychel Es Bonef. If somebody is a gazlin, Reuven steals some food or steals something from Shimon, and then he gives the food tea to his own children, or else Veniach Lefneim, he leaves over the field in front of his children, and the children eat it up after the father dies. So Lacharis Paturim L'Shalim. These children, even though they had enjoyment from the Gzela, they're potter from paying back, because they themselves did not steal. Their father is the one that made the Gzela. We're talking about now that the father did not leave over any karka, only metaltlim, some metaltlim that the Yarshim, the sons of Yarshim, are not meshubed. They do not have to pay back from the metaltlim, the movable things they received from the father. But vim hoye dovish yesh b'yachrais, let's say the father left over when he died some karka, some property, that's called yesh l'yachrais, there's responsibility to it. Then chayovim l'shalim, then the sons have to pay back from this property to the nigzal, the one the father stole from. Because at the time the father stole, his nechosim, his property that he owned at that time, was meshubid to pay back for this gzela. Now the Mishnah says, "Ein portim loy mitevas hamuchsin." A person is not allowed to exchange money. If you want to give portim, means to exchange a seller or a dinar into prutas. He's not allowed to take the prutas out of a tevas hamuchsin. Muchsin is a tax collector. You can't exchange from his money for loy mikis shokaboyim, and not the wallet where they also collected the money from the taxes. And the Gemara explained, because we're afraid that these tax collectors are gazlonim. They steal the money, they take more than they're supposed to, and it's gzela. Therefore, you should not exchange the money there. You're taking money that does not belong to them. And the same thing, v'yeinoitlim mehem tzedaka. You cannot take from these tax collectors tzedaka, because most probably the money is gzela, stolen goods, and yes, you're not supposed to take stolen goods for tzedaka. Avonoitlu mitoich beisrei menashuk. But if you meet these people privately in their own house or in the shuk, and you want exchange from their own private money, then it's okay. Their own private money, there we do not say it's gzela. We only say the money they collected for the taxes is gzela, is stolen goods. But their own money they have in the house, so you meet them in the marketplace, their own pocket, that's okay. From that money you could exchange, or from that money you could take for tzedakah. Mishnah Beis. Not loy muchsemes chamori. Let's say this tax collector took away your donkey. Venos no loy chamor achar. And then later he returned you, he gave you back somebody else's donkey. Or else, gozlu listemes ksus. Let's say somebody stole your jacket. Venos no loy ksus acheris. And then the goslin comes and returns you and gives you back a different jacket. So lochur is a reilu shloy. You have a right to keep these things. Even though the chur is also stolen goods, the muhsin, this tax collector, stole the chamor from somebody else, or this goslin for sure stole this coat from somebody else, so why you let it keep it? Because most probably when the muhsin or the goslin stole it, so the owner was miyash, gave up hope. So it comes out that by the time it comes to you, that's called yish. The original owner gave up hope of getting it back, and there's a shinu rishus from the goslin to you, therefore it's mutter. So since here you're taking it for an exchange from the fact he took away yours and he's given you back something else, here you're allowed to accept it. Now hamatzo min anor. Let's say a river is overflowing and coming to destroy something and you come and save it. Oy min hagayis, or else let's say an army is going to come to destroy the city and you save something. Oy min alistim, or else you save something from robbers. So it depends. In this Yerushalayim Bailam, if the owner gave up hope of saving or receiving it, Sarei Lushalai, then you have the right to keep it, because that's called Yish Iskoina, is a Kenyan Yish. Then the Mishnah says, V'chein, the same Allah replies, Nechil Shel Dvarim, a swarm of bees, a bunch of bees, in this year. Let's say they go from one person's field into your field. Sim Nis Yerushalayim Bailam, Arei Lushalai. If you know for sure the first owner was Miyayish, gave up hope of receiving it back, then you're allowed to keep it. And the Chiddush is, even though that even the first owner, you do not really own the bees, it's not something you could grab a hold of. There's only a Kenyan Midrabanan, therefore still the Chiddush is, you could only keep it the second one if you know for sure the first owner was Miyayish, gave up hope of receiving it back. Omer Reb Yechanan ben Brukha. Reb Yechanan ben Brukha says, Nemenes isha oy koten loymer, that a lady or a koten under bar mitzvah is believed to say that mikan yotze nechil zeh, that from this property did this swarm of bees come out. In other words, Gemara says in the case where we see the owner is running after them, he wants them back. He is not miyayish, so you have to return it to him. So an isha or koten is believed to say, this person is the first owner, we saw the way these bees came from his field. Now, mahalech b'toich sote chaveroi lehatzeres nechiloi, that you're allowed to go through somebody else's field to save your bunch of bees. If your bees fly through somebody else's field, you're allowed to go through his field to save your bees. But v'im hizik, let's say when you go through the field, you do damage, you destroy his growings there, you destroy the vegetables there, then mishalama shizik, of course you have to pay for the damage that you caused. Avolo yokot says soichoi, that if you see your bees went on the other person's branch, went into somebody else's field, and it's on the branch of the tree, you're not allowed to break off the branch. And afilu amanas litines adomim, even though you're doing this and you have intentions to pay back the value of the branch, still you have no right to go and break off the other person's branch. Rabbi Yishmael Benoi, Shor Rabbi Yechon and Bruk Oimer, Af Koitzeitz Benois Nesdomim. He argues and says, no, if you have intentions to pay back the value of the branch, so you have a right to go into your friend's Rishus and break off that branch that has your bees on it. Even though you're a Mazik, but since you're doing it to save your own bees, and you have intentions to pay him back, he holds this is Mutta. And the Pshat is, this is one of the Tanoim, the way Yeshua was Hinchel Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, that they have a right to use somebody else's property to save their bees, but if they do the damage, they have to pay back. Yevishne Gimel, Hamakir Kelev Usvorv Biyadacher. Let's say Reuven goes to his friend's house, and he sees the way his friend Shimon has his own Kelem, has his own Svarim. So Reuven says, these are my Kelem, these are my Svarim. And V'yotzo L'shem G'neva Bir, it was known before that Reuven had a robbery. So Reuven says what happened was the robber must probably sold it to you, Shimon. So Lachriz Yishov Alai Halakeach, Kamenosan, Shimon, the one that bought these kalim or these sperm in the store, he has to swear to tell us the price, how much he paid for it. And Vito, so lochar is that Reuven has the right to take these kalim back from Shimon. Just Reuven has to pay the money back to Shimon. This is called a takonis hashuk. This is the takon of the Rabbana made in order to make it easy for Shimon to return the gzela. The yimlav, but let's say there was no edim. We do not know that Reuven had a gzela. Reuven had a robbery. Then loy kolamenu. Then we do not believe Reuven to say that Shimon has it or Shimon bought it off the gazlin. But rather shani yomer, we would say maybe that mechorin liyachar. True, even though Reuven once upon a time owned these kalim, this chair, or owned these svarim, even if he has edim that he once owned it, but still we'll say what happened was that Reuven himself sold it to somebody because he needed money. And now v'lochon zehemenu, and now Shimon came and bought it from that person. So therefore Shimon has a right to keep it. So the only time Shimon has to give it back is if there are edim, is a curl that we know Reuven had a robbery before. Mishnah Dalet. Zebo b'chavise shoyayin. One person is walking with a barrel of wine. V'zebo b'chada shodvash. And one person is walking with a kada pitcher of honey. Now, nistako chavye shaladvash. That's the one that's holding the honey. His barrel broke. And it starts to drip out the honey. V'shofach z'esyen. Now, the other person automatically spilled out his wine. Vitzeles devash l'teichen, he went to save the other person's honey. So locker is ein lo yelescharoi. All the owner of the devash has to do is just pay the other person the wages for the work that he did to you. You do not have to pay him for the wine that he spilled out, but it's not worse than a poil that's working for you. You have to pay him for the time that he's doing working to save your honey. V'yimom, let's say the person says, atzel es shaloch. Listen, I'll save you your honey, because honey is worth more than the wine. I'll save you your honey, but I want you to pay me the value of my wine. Then, and he says yes, then the other person, the owner of the honey, has to pay this worker for the amount of wine that he lost. Now, let's say the river starts to overflow, and it takes away your donkey and your friend's donkey. Now, shaloi yofa mona, your donkey is only worth $100. V'shechaveru masayim, and your friend's donkey is worth $200. So what do you do? Heniach zeh shaloi, you forget, you leap over your donkey. V'tzele shechaveru, you go to save your friend's donkey. So locher is ein lo yelescharoi. The owner now only has to pay you back for the work that you did. He does not have to pay you for your chamor that you lost. But what? Because he didn't tell you to do it. But the mamala, let's say you say clearly to the other person, "Aniyatzel shaloch, yishno, I'll do you a favor, and I'll go and I'll save your donkey." Beviyato noisin liyeshli, but providing you pay me the $100, how much my donkey is lost was worth. And there's now my donkey is drowning, but I'm not going to save mine. I'll save yours because yours is worth more. Then the locher is chayv litenlay. Since he spoke it out before, now the owner of the $200 chamor has to pay back the other one $100 for his chamor that was lost. Mishnehe, ha-goizel sode mechaveroi. Let's say you steal a field from your friend, on the toluhu misikin, and then people come from the king and by force take it away from you. So it depends. Im makas medinhi. If these masikim, these government men, are coming to take away the field from everybody, the whole city, so then the gazlan has the right to say back to the original owner, Harei shaloch lefanecho. Listen, the field is here, like really karkazen and exelis. So therefore, listen, I didn't cause any damage. The field would have been taken away anyway. Therefore, he's parted from paying you. But v'yemach mes hagazlan, let's say these government people are only after this gazlan, they're only taking away his fields. Then Chayav Lahamed Lo Yisod Echeres. Then this gazlan is the cause why the field was taken away, that the original owner is going to lose out. Therefore, he's deceived, he's the gurim, he has to pay back the original owner the value of the field. What's going to be shot for Nohor? Let's say the river overflowed and ruined the field. So, then for sure the Gazan has a right to say to the owner, listen, it's your field, take it back. I did not cause this to happen, it would have happened anyway. Therefore, we're going to make it in that Gzela, Karkas, and Gzelis. Therefore, you not have to pay back for instance, that would have happened by itself. Only this case of Masikin, where they're after you, so you're the cause for him to lose out, therefore you have to pay back. Mishnah Vav. Hagoizel es chaveroi. Let's say somebody steals from his friend. Oishilova himenu, or else you borrowed money from your friend. Oishifkid loy bayishuv, or else he gave you something to watch in the yishuv in the city. So lochuriz, in all these three cases, you have to return something back to that person. So lochuriz, since he gave it to you in the yishuv in the city, or that's where you stole it, or that's where you borrowed money from him, so Mishnah says, leyachsaloy bamidbar, you have no right to go and return it to him when he's away from home in the midbar. The person doesn't want to receive the money there, so you have no right to return it to him when he's in the midbar. In other words, he's afraid to receive the money here in the wilderness. Maybe he'll lose it, so therefore you have no right to return it to him here. But what's going to be a manas lotzeis by midbar? Let's say when you first receive the money, if you borrow the money with pikodin, you make clearly a condition that I can give it back to you, even though you're in the midbar. Then Yasleib Midbar, then Pshiti, you have right to return it to him, even though he's in the midbar, he's in the wilderness. Mishnah Zayin. Hoy melech haveroi. Somebody says to his friend, Gizal ticho, like I stole from you. Rels hilvi sani, you lend me money. Hifkarato etzli, you gave me pikodin, you gave me something to watch of yours. But vieni yedei im echzarti loch, I'm not sure whether I returned it to you or not. In other words, the Gazlan himself, or the Lever himself, admits that he borrowed or he stole money, but yet they're not sure whether they paid back or not. So, such a loch, a chayav l'shalim, it's like any day in praticha, since you're admitting that for sure you have a chiyav to pay back, so it's a suffix whether you're mekayim yechayv or not, therefore you have to pay. Abba, what's going to be, imamaloy, let's say he says like this, any day in gizalticha, I'm not sure that I stole from you at all. Or else, im hilvisani, the Leiber says, I'm not sure if I ever borrowed money from you. Or else, im hifkarato etzli, I'm not sure if you gave me something of yours to watch. So in these cases, potim l'shalim, there's a suffix if there's a chiv altogether for you to pay back. So in the case of any day, im nischayavti, in such a case we say, you're potter from paying back, the other one has to bring a proof of edim to be meitzi mamin from you. Mishneches. Hagoinev tele menoeder, if somebody steals the sheep from somebody's flock, ve'achziroi, and then the gazlan returns it without telling the owner that he returned it. Vo'meisa nignef, and then this tele, the sheep, dies or was stolen the second time. Sachay b'achriusoi, the first gazlan is still chay b'achriusoi. We're talking about in a case where the owner realized that it was stolen. Since he realized it was stolen, it's not called Hashav, it's not called you returned it, until you notify the owner. If the owner does not know that it's returned, it's not called you made a good Hashavah. Therefore, if something happens to it, you're still Chayif. What's going to be the lo yodo habaydam loy b'gnev osoy for loy b'chazir osoy? In other words, you returned the animal, the gazlan returned it before the baylam even found out that it was stolen. So the owner does not even realize that it was stolen, and he does not realize that it was returned. In such a case, in the case is umono esatzoinu shleimhi, that the owner came the next day and counted his flock for the first time now and saw nothing is missing, so he did not know anything, and then a gazlan steals it, a second gazlan, or else it dies, then potter, then the first gazlan is potter. Since the owner did not know about the gzela, so therefore, since it was back already and he counted them, that's considered like a good hashava, and therefore if something new happens, you're potter. It's not on your achrayus anymore. Since two things happened, since the owner did not realize it was stolen, and secondly, he just got finished counting it, so he realizes everything is there, therefore it's completely in the owner's reshus, and if something new happens, the owner is chayiv and not the gazlan. Mishnah Tes. Ein loichin min horoyin tzemer v'chol v'gdim. Not let a boy from a shepherd, you can't buy from him not wool, and not milk, and not goats. Because we have to be afraid, maybe he stole it from the original owner. Therefore, he cannot buy from a shepherd. V'loy mishomrei peris, eitzim o peris, you can't buy
from a watchman, somebody's watching somebody else's fruits, you can't buy off the watchman fruits or eight or wood. Again, we have to be afraid, maybe it's stolen goods. Avoloichim and Hanoshim, but you're allowed to buy from ladies, Kalei Tzemev Yehuda. You're allowed to buy woolen clothing in Yehuda. Because that's the dera, that's the mini, that the Noshim make their own clothing. So therefore you could buy it off them, they for sure made it. O Kalei Pishtim the Golo, the same thing in Golo, the other mini was the ladies used to make flax clothing. So therefore you're allowed to buy the flax off a lady. The Yagolim Ba Sharon. You're allowed to buy calves in Sharon. Because that was the meaning there, that in this place, the Noshim, the ladies, used to raise their own agolim, their own calves. Therefore, you're allowed to buy it from them. But the Chulin Sharm, in any case, where they said, Lahatamin Osa. In other words, in these last three cases, if a lady is selling the Tzemeh, the woolen Yehuda, or in Golan, she's selling the Pishtun or the Golem in Sharyun, if she tells the boy, listen, hide it, don't show it to anybody, then Osa, then it's Osa, because then we're afraid, she's selling you stolen goods. V'loichim beitzim v'tanagurim mikol mokum. We're allowed to buy eggs and chickens any place. Because we're not afraid they're stolen goods. This is a normal for people to have their own. But again, if the seller tells you, hide them, don't show anybody, then again we're afraid it's stolen goods, it would be yosa. Ye Mishneh Yud. Muchin shehakoyves moitzi. That's if somebody gives his clothing to a washer, to wash his clothing, and some threads come out. So lochariz harelu shaloi. These threads that come out b'shas the time when the washman is washing the clothing, he has a right to keep it. It's a small amount. The owner is not makba, but doesn't care about those threads. But b'shas sirik, the person that combs out the wool, might see what comes out. The threads that come out when you comb it, then harelu shabalabais. That still belongs to the owner. Since a lot of threads come out then, the balabas is makba, but it still belongs to him. Ha-koyves noitein shloi shechutin vein shloi. The koyves, the washman, he's allowed to take out three threads and he can keep it. But yes, and we can, if more than three threads come out when he's washing it, then harelu shabalabais. Then we say the balabas is makba, but he wants those threads. You have to return it to the owner of the cloth. Imhoyo ha-shocher agabi halovin. Let's say there's extra threads that are coming out, the black ones, which really the whole clothing is white. So as we, these black threads do not look nice anyway. Then the kovis, the washman, has a right to remove all these black threads, and they belong to him, because it does not look nice on the clothing, so the balabos is not makbet if you take it. Now hachayit, let's say you give some material to a weaver to weave something for you. Shashir menachut k'tei litfaboy. If it leaves over the string enough to still sew more, I think the Gemara says that's a loshen of kapul shel hamachet, double amount of the needle. If that much is left over, so you have to return it to the owner. Umatle shi sholosh al sholosh, or else if you give him clothing to make, to weave something, and is left over a piece of cloth, which is 3 by 3, it's boys, harielu shemalabais. In these two cases, the balabas is marked, but he wants it back. You have to return it to him. It still belongs to the owner. Now, ma shehachorish moitzi b'matza. You have a carpenter working by you, and he's planing the wood. He's like smoothing out the wood. So what comes out from the plane, harelu shaloi. That the workman has a right to keep. It's a small amount. The owner doesn't care about it, so the workman can keep it. Uva kashil. Let's say what comes out from the hatchet, or from the saw that he's using, then shabalabais, there are bigger pieces come out of wood, those still belong to the balabas. In other words, where the balabas gave the wood to the chorich, to the carpenter, to make things, so these things, since it's a large amount, the owner is still not, but he wants it back, therefore the workman cannot keep it, but he has to return it to the balabais. V'mohoye oise, eitzo balabais. Let's say the carpenter was working by the owner's house, then af hanasorah shabalabais, even the sawdust, the small sawdust that comes out from the sawing, also belongs to the balabais. Since it's taking place in his house, what's in his house, he's makbel akach, he wants it, it all belongs to the balabais. All right, slikim asechta bavakama, we'll stop here.